Our Old Testament reading today will be from Psalm 122, and Henry is going to be reading for us this morning.
I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity." This is the name of the Lord.
I tell you what, when you get ready to speak and you hear thunder and lightning. Wow. And I tell you this scripture today that we're in, and I hope you'll turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. This is very, very serious. And I never feel like I'm here to entertain you. That's not what I'm supposed to do. That's not what I'm called to do. That's not what I should be doing. But I hope today that I can share with you some information, if you've never heard this before, that you will take it very serious. This is a setting that I want to read to you today from chapter 24. It's what is commonly referred to as the Olivet Discourse. This is just before Jesus Christ is going to be meeting with the disciples up in the upper room. And they're on this Mount of Olives, and this discourse is going to start today the question that's on the minds of these disciples. And that question is, it says, "Tell us, when will these things take place? And what is the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" Now I'm gonna scoot down to the 36th verse to begin our scripture today. But I want to tell you that before that, what Jesus Christ is telling these in this Olivet Discourse is he is showing and telling us about these general signs that are going to occur. And I'm going to speak about that in my message in just a bit. And then he's going to tell about this one sign that's going to happen, that's going to start everything. And whenever it starts that, what's going to begin is that time we call the tribulation. And during that time, and it goes back, and I want to tell you up front that as I study, and there's a lot of different theological thoughts on eschatology. And eschatology is a big word meaning the end of times. And some people have different ways that they interpret that. There are premillennials, there's amillennials, there's postmillennials. But I guess I find myself in the category of a premillennial. And the thing about the premillennials that is that they think, and I think this, that as part of Christ's church, that we're going to be spared from these difficulties that are going to happen. And I believe that. That's where I am. That's where I believe that these things that Jesus Christ is going to say that we're going to miss that. That's my belief. Because some of these things that are going to happen are going to be terrible. They're going to be very terrible. And I want you to listen to God's word. As I begin, it's going to be in chapter 24, verse 36, where it says, "And all of these in my Bible are in the color red." So you know what that means. I'm not saying this. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there were two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." Thus ends the reading of God's holy, God's inspired, his inerrant word. May God write its eternal truth upon your hearts, because this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, Lord, as we come to you today, we ask that it be your words, that it be your truth that is spoken, that it is your truth that will be written upon our hearts, that will be interpreted by your Holy Spirit in our lives, that it might guide us, that it might help us to a deeper understanding of your will in our lives. Lord, quieten us for just a moment. Allow those things that keep our minds occupied to be focused on you, to put our focus, our emphasis on your love and on your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, today's scripture, is as you look at the times of eschatology and the things that come, there are several books that each one, and neither one, none of these contradict themselves. You can find it in the book of Daniel in chapter 9. You can find it today in Matthew 24. You can find it in 1 Corinthians. You can find it in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. And most importantly, you'll find it in the book of Revelation. So all of these scriptures come together to talk about this thing that we call the end of time. Now today, as I said, the setting is Jesus is just before going to the cross. He is with his disciples, meeting with them on this Mount of Olives. And his disciples approach him, and they want to ask him some questions. They want to ask him a very important question. Verse 3 tells us, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall the sign of thy coming at the end of the age?" You know, every generation, you know, it's been 2,000 years, every generation is called to live in expectancy, in alertness. Are you ready to understand what this word is? In expectancy and alertness is preparedness. Being prepared. Because we don't know when, what generation, that these events are going to transpire. We don't know. Jesus says the angels in heaven don't know. He even says that he doesn't know. Now you say, how can Almighty God, if Jesus is God, how can he not know? He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is very man, very God. How does he not know? Well, I think what happened when Jesus came down, he humbled himself. He humbled himself from that omniscient to listen to what God the Father wanted to hear him do. Now, I think we would take a very good note in life to do that very thing. He did not do anything that the Father did not tell him to do. We've been waiting for 2,000 years and it hasn't come yet. Now you might say, well, why hasn't he come? Well, as I tell you, if you look in Revelations, one of the reasons I think is that I think God is waiting for evil, for sin to come to its ultimate climax, that it might be defeated. He's also waiting until all those that have come, that he has set, has preordained to come into his saving glory, might be brought into that relationship. So I think the reason why he's waiting is he's waiting for sin to be fulfilled, and he's waiting for the salvation of those people he's called. Well, you say, what should be the attitude that I should live with as I wait for this moment? How should we live life? I want to tell you that we have to live that life in expectancy, being prepared to come again. Now, as I said, I'm a premillennialist, and I really believe from what Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians that the church will not have to experience this tribulation. Daniel talks about this in chapter 9. He talks about these 70 weeks. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it, but if you read in this very beginning of chapter 24, Jesus starts to outline some general things that are going to happen. And you might say, well, Mark, these things are happening right now today. Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be today? Again, Jesus says, nobody knows but the Father. So I don't know. But there's going to be some things that are going to happen, and there's going to be one sign that it's going to say that it's going to be the very beginning. There's going to be a worldwide government that's going to kind of come up, and there's going to be this person who's going to make a peace treaty, you might say. And there's going to be some times where it looks like things are kind of going calm. But it says in verse 15, it says, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, that is going to be the beginning of the great tribulation. And you're not going to want to be here, I'm going to tell you, at that time. You think things are bad now, it's going to be terrible. You're going to see things that are going to be changing. And you wonder about those people that are here at that time. Can any be saved? Well, I believe that even though the church will be raptured out, there will be people that will be saved. There's going to be that remnant from Israel that is going to be saved. And what you have to know is you have to be alert. Now, what I want to talk with about today, and I know we've had some in the church. I know Abby's been to see the Ark. And I know O.R. and Annette have gone to see the Ark. But what I want to talk about is Jesus is going to give us an illustration of how it's going to be in that time. And he's going to use as an example, the greatest example, whenever God caused the flood. There were only 8 righteous people saved. Only 8. You know, God had created everything. Back in Genesis chapter 6, you can look at it and see. And God saw that everything was evil. And it had really disappointed him. And he decided to wipe out all of mankind except 8 people. Noah. Now, Noah was a preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. But we're going to see that this attitude that was of the people in Noah's time is going to be the same way the attitude is whenever Christ comes again. Here's what he says. He says this. He says, but on that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Well, in fact, it's going to be more wicked at that time than it was at the time of Noah. You know, people are going to not understand. They're going to say, what's happening to the world? Why is the sun not shining as bright all day? Why are the days shorter? Why are there earthquakes? Why are there massacres? Why is this going on? Why is the water changing, becoming bitter, fresh and salt? The fact is that people are going to be more wicked in that time than in the history of the world. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 7, that during that time of the tribulation, the restrainer. Now, the restrainer, I'm going to tell you who that is. I believe that to be God's Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit has been kind of keeping that at bay. But there's going to come a time whenever he's going to take the Holy Spirit, and then all the evil that can ever be imagined is going to be unleashed. So how was it in the days of Noah? Whereas in the days of Noah, before the flood, that is, people were eating and they were drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, first off, I'm going to tell you there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with eating and drinking. But basically what things were, people were going on just like nothing was going to happen. Now, it's kind of hard to imagine a man building a boat. And as I said, Abby and O.R. and Annette have seen this, and that was more than just a small put in the boat river. It was huge. Now, Jesus, God said for 120 years that he was going to cause this to happen. Now, during this time, I know people were probably making fun of Noah. Say, what in the world are you doing, man? It's not going to rain out here. What are you doing? Well, he was yet still building that boat. He was still preaching that. Then all of a sudden, they started seeing him gathering these animals. They started to realize, well, it must be getting close. Well, he brought the animals in, and they still didn't understand. They still didn't get it. They thought he was crazy. He says, so it will be when the Son of Man comes again. We're going to see these same things happening, and we're going to try to explain it away. We're going to try to rationalize it. We're going to try to look it up on Google. They're going to try to do everything. They kept eating and drinking just like tomorrow was going to come. But 2 Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. What we're seeing today is illustrated in the recording of Noah. Noah was asked by God and instructed by God and gave him detailed instructions on what to build. God told him a flood was going to come, and he told him exactly how to build it. And you know what Noah did? That's exactly what Noah did. He built it exactly like God did. Then all of a sudden, when the ark was finished, the people were watching. And all of a sudden, whenever he put all the animals in and got them aboard, you know what God did? He shut the door. He shut the door. Only 8 people were on that, and all the animals, 2 of every kind, were on that ark. Then all of a sudden, the rain started coming. I guess people started knocking on the boat. Let me in. So it's going to be just that way whenever the Lord comes again. He gets very specific in verse 40 and 41. Now, I want to tell you up front, whenever I read this, I don't believe that this is talking about the rapture. I'm going to tell you that to begin with, because I think it goes back in context what he's saying right now. So when you listen to this, I want you to listen to this. Because I believe that the rapture is going to happen before this. Okay, I believe this. And before this was actually read, before Jesus was in the upper room, John chapter 14, he talks about, I'm going to come again. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you shall be also. He tells him not to be worried. But this, Jesus says this after this. Okay? So this is why I don't think this is pertaining to the rapture. He says, then there shall be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. What does it mean, taken? Well, this is exactly opposite from the rapture. At the time of the rapture, Jesus is going to come in the clouds. He's not going to touch the earth, but in the clouds it says that the trumpet will sound, the archangel will make a call, and those that are dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are alive will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. That is the rapture. What we're talking about here is about judgment when Jesus comes back. You read in chapter 19 in the book of Revelations, you'll see this more in detail when Jesus comes back. But you go back to verse 39 in today's scripture, says, and they did not understand until the flood came, they, meaning the people. They didn't understand until the flood came and took them away. So shall it be when the Son of Man comes. You know, we talk about this separation of the righteous and unrighteous. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, we know that familiar story about the sheep and the goat. He has his sheep on one hand and his goats on the other. The goats, those that are unrighteous, are taken away to destruction. And what is left? The sheep. They're here to be with Jesus Christ, along with his saints that come from the four winds of heaven to rule the earth in that millennial time. Verse 42 is real important. It says, therefore, be on the alert. Be on the alert, because you do not know when the Lord is coming. When the Lord comes, the ungodly, the unrighteous will be swept away, and the godly, only the godly will be left, remaining safe to enter the kingdom. That's the promise. Now, we don't know when that's going to happen. We know the general signs that's going to occur, but we don't know when that's going to happen. We understand it says that that generation that's alive will see that. It's going to happen quickly when it happens. Now, God knows how to separate the good from the bad. 2 Peter tells us the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. So Jesus, God knows how to separate them. But the word is for us to be alert. It's the term that has called us to be active, doing something. To not just put it on hold, but to be active, to be alert. Because you don't know when that hour is going to come. I want to tell you, this is not something I'm making up. This is serious. This isn't fiction. It's not my thoughts. It's in the book. I challenge you. I urge you to read it. Daniel chapter 9. Today's reading. John chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, read it. It's not something, it's not fiction. He's going to come. His first prophecy, when he came as a baby, as an advent, was fulfilled. And this will too be fulfilled. I believe that. So we need to be faithful today. We need to recognize the signs that we're living in, the signs of the times. That we need to be ready to meet Jesus Christ, to make that profession of faith, to be ready. As I said, I don't want to be here. I want to put my faith and trust in God. I want to ask Him for forgiveness of my sins. I want to put my trust in Him as my Savior. That on that day, when He comes in the clouds, whenever the trumpet sounds and the archangel cries that I will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. That's where I want to be. But I don't know when that's going to happen. But I believe it's all going to happen before these events that I outlined here today. That's my belief. We're encouraged to be ready. I want to tell you, if you really thought like that, wouldn't it change the way you look at things? If you believe that, and I hope that you believe that and you don't take this as something that's not true, it will make a tremendous difference in how you look at things and how you believe in Jesus Christ and how you look at your own sinfulness and your own view on life and what's really important, not the things that we accumulate, not how we use our time, but how we put our focus on thanks to God. You see, what the Bible tells us is it does tell us hope. There is hope for tomorrow, and this hope comes in 1 John. It tells us, and everyone, that's all of us, all of the believers, it says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him. You're not looking at Mark. You're not looking at, you see, there's going to be this Antichrist, and he's going to demand that everybody falls down and worships him. But what you have to realize is you need to be fixed on Him. Purify yourself just as He is pure. That's why it's called a comforting hope in John chapter 14. You know, C.A.'s back there, and I can't tell you, he probably knows that chapter by heart. Tells us, don't let our hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you so, but there are many mansions, there are many rooms, and I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you shall be also. That is a comfort. It's a comfort for us today. It's a comfort for us when we think of our loved ones that have gone on before us. It's a blessed and happy hope that we have. What I believe is that all this is going to take place during the millennial period, that thousand-year reign that He creates. This earth is going to change. A new heaven and a new earth, a new kingdom, a new millennium. And then if you read a little bit farther in Revelation, it says there's going to be even another, a new kingdom, a new Jerusalem, a new heaven and earth that will last for eternity. And what that's going to be like, we have never, ever seen, never, ever comprehend. At the end of that kingdom, there will be a recreation of this millennial kingdom. There will be a recreation of this kingdom the way it should be, that we that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and put our faith and trust in Him, that ask Him for forgiveness of our sins, will be with Him through eternity. That's how we should live. We should always be alert, because it's going to be something greater and grander than we ever known. You know, as I think of that, it's really hard for me to stand up here before you realize that I'm such a sinful person to tell you such an important truth. But today's message, I hope that you will study it, that you will study it for yourself, that you ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand that. You know, I don't know the complete order everything's going to happen. But I do trust in this, that there will come a time when Jesus Christ will come again. He will separate the good from the bad. Some will go to eternal damnation apart from God, and some will be offered into His kingdom. The thing that I don't know, and no one knows, is when that's going to happen. I impress upon you, I urge upon you, that if you haven't made that decision, to make that decision today, it is very important. Because God's time is different in our time. To God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. We don't know when that day or hour will come. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, Lord, as we come to you today, we all come with questions. What does the future hold? What does the future hold for me? When will it transpire? When will it end? Jesus Christ told his disciples that no one, not the angels, nor himself, nor anyone knows but you, the Father. Lord, with that, it should cause us not to delay. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to share with you what your word says. You know, it tells us that if we knew we were going to get broke in, we would do something about it. We'd check the locks on the doors. We would do things. And Lord, we know that it's going to happen. Your prophecy came true in a babe born in a manger. This prophecy will come true as well. Lord, let us be prepared. Let us be ready. Let us be alert. Let us put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor. For when Jesus Christ comes, he will be King of kings, Lord of lords. Lord, we give you thanks. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.